It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Late Night Drive. My name is Ellie Schnitt.
And I'm Michaela Oakland.
We're so happy to have you here post-holiday in our car. I bet everybody's feeling nice and full.
They're in our sleigh.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, according to Michaela, it's now Christmas.
Oh my God, it's Christmas time.
Are we the reindeer or are we Santa? Okay, which one are you? Are you Dancer, Prancer?
I think I would be Prancer because
you're giving Prancer.
I feel like I'm Prancer.
You think Prancer's gay?
You have Prancer? Are you kidding me?
Well, Prancer is gay like that, you know?
Yeah,
I feel
like
Vixen is gay, like in a
girl way. Whoa, Vixen. I forgot there's a deer named that, or sorry, reindeer named Vixen. That's such a good name.
Totally, such a good name.
They should have more stories about Vixen and what she's up to.
Well, the reindeer were hating ass bitches, as we learned.
I know, but like, you know, I think they were haters, but I think it was just jealousy. And we don't know how old they were. Maybe they were really young and they like just didn't understand. I think, you know, maybe... Maybe they did have flaws for sure, but it's giving middle school, it's giving high school to me. I think that they probably learned a lesson and they just did it publicly. Unfortunately, they had to learn a really hard lesson in front of millions of people and always be remembered for that. You know?
That's true. You know, you don't talk about that much, but we really should feel bad for them because like who among us has not said something unkind or judged somebody in the comfort of our own homes, perhaps even behind a screen?
Yeah.
And they had to really do it front and center, public. And everybody knows them as hating ass bitches who are mean to Rudolph, who like comes across really well in that story. But we don't know if he did something that deserved bullying. Maybe he was weird. Maybe he had bad vibes.
Imagine everybody knowing about your worst moment. That's really hard. That's really sad.
That's really hard. And you should have empathy for the reindeers.
But yeah, I was telling Ellie, I spent like 3 hours making Christmas cookies today. And she's like, it's not even Christmas time. What do you call
it? It's not even December.
What do you call it when Thanksgiving's over? That's Christmas time.
I think it is Christmas time. I think you're right. But I would just personally wait to December 1st. Because like December is Christmas month. But November still feels like fall, like just plain fall, you know?
Yeah, there are like some houses in the neighborhood that have already done Christmas lights, which is really fun. And the ads on the TV are starting to do like holiday type themes, you know, thematic holiday vibes on the on the advertising. So I've just been kind of starting to get into it. Chrissy is like super into Christmas. Like I can't
Chrissy
share.
Christmas.
Yeah, we were doing 12 Days of Christmas under the Michaela toe. We're going to get really into Christmas.
I'll be honest, don't like Michaela toe.
Well, that's because you're thinking of something else, but you've got to think
How would I not think of something else? Cool and not think of...
No, you got to think mistletoe.
Nobody's going to think that. I'm not being a hater, I promise. But like that hit me real hard, like right away.
No, it's a perfect name. It's perfect.
Not under the Michaela toe.
Well, and you know what? It's open to interpretation, I guess.
And what isn't?
So I'm excited. I love the holidays. I think it, you know, it is the sad season, but in many ways, I love putting on fuzzy socks and having a little space warmer going on or a fire going on and having lights around. The lights are so sweet, and it doesn't really get that cold here anyway. So it's like kind of fake in California.
Kind of like December is like a good month because you're not like sick of the cold yet. It's kind of novel still because you get to wear your big coat and your hat and your scarf and you get all like toasty and I don't know, there's fireplaces and it's still pretty and it hasn't been like the trees haven't been gray for too long where you're kind of like, okay, sleigh, and maybe it snows and you're like, ooh, cool. It's after December, like after Christmas, that usually I'm like, oh, I hate winter.
But that's such a good December, point.
I love winter in December.
Like May, when it's snowing in May, because that's how it was in Colorado, I was like, okay, this is the worst season that we have. Out of every season, this is the most terrible. We didn't even really have spring.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like New York, like it stops being like proper winter pretty early. Like we didn't have snow at all last year, but it doesn't become spring for a while. So you're just in this like middle season of it's not nice out, but the sun's out and the trees are starting to bloom, but it's cold and it's like misty and you're like, this sucks. It rains awful. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to December because it's my favorite time of year in New York because they put the Christmas trees out on the street for people to buy. So the streets smells like all the streets smell like pine and it's like such a beautiful thing.
We're getting a real Christmas tree. Like we're going to put it on top of my car and bring it home.
Like you're going to chop a tree down?
Well, we're going to go. I think they're pre-chopped or are they not?
Yeah. But realistically, do you think you could chop a tree if you like had to?
Like emotionally or physically?
Either. Yeah.
I think that like physically it would take a lot of hits. And emotionally, that would be really hard. Like, oh my God, there was one time I had microdosed that day and I went outside and I saw that a tree on my street had been chopped down and I like fell to my knees. I was like sobbing. I mean, mind you, it was like shrooms and that's a very nature-y experience. So it's like, no, the earth. But like, it hit me hard.
Oh, I like trees.
I do too. Like,
you know, like they do the tree at Rockefeller Center every Christmas.
Yeah.
And they bring her in from like Vermont or something. And she's a diva down. And like they've chopped her. And I always look at that tree because it's huge.
Yeah, isn't
it's
a that
huge
up?
Tree. And I'm like, yeah, it's up now. Yeah. And I'm like, they must Christmas have been time. Growing her for hundreds of years.
Mm.
You know, like, and now she's dead. Like,
she has
isn't
more
that sad.
She's been here longer than us. And we decided to take her life. That's so fucked up. She's always been
for
here.
Our own. Like vanity, like she was probably here before we were here. Like that's crazy.
She probably was there with all the reindeer when that story was first told, when it happened.
Oh my God, speaking of trees, remember how I was like, well, New York is sexist because they only planted
this was
boy
big.
Trees. Right. Well, turns out they really did it because they didn't want fruit trees. They didn't want female trees that were fruit trees because they didn't want poor people to be able to eat fruit. And like, you're evil. That's evil. That's a terrible thing. Not that, by the way, I would ever want to eat like New York City tree fruit, but like still, come on.
I feel like that's such a good example of how our system works. Like we won't just put out fruit trees that people could have because we just don't want them to have it. And then we would
are,
rather
like, not allowed to like grow vegetables in some places.
And we'd
in
rather
America.
Get pollen. We'd rather just have really bad allergies than let poor people have fruit.
We'd literally rather everybody suffer than some people suffer a little less. Like
what?
Anti-slay, in my opinion.
But that really holds up to a lot of other things. Like that framework really makes sense. It's interesting.
That's really what made America what she is.
That was the first choice. Like, that was like the
it's
first.
It's literally like. Yeah, it's literally like people who are like, well, I had to pay all my student loans, and so I don't think student loans should be forgiven. It's like, so you'd rather everybody suffer just because you had to suffer a little bit? Okay.
Well, I had to grow my own fruit, so you have to... Well,
well, the world can be a better place, believe that.
I honestly see a future for myself where I have like a beautiful garden with a bunch of fruits and like vegetables.
I see that for you.
And I tend to them. you know?
I think I could be very happy one day, like on a farm, like mm-hmm. with farm animals and just like waking up and baking bread, you know, like this. By the way, in this future, I like slipped and fell in a Walmart or something and I have like unlimited money. Right. From that's the
exactly,
lawsuit.
Exactly. If we weren't needing money so badly every day and like to constantly be entertaining people so that they don't get sick of us, we could be so free. We could be so free and wild.
We should go like go find some spills this holiday season, find some ice,
dude,
and
I
really
would
just
love,
try and make some,
not to get like, not to welcome some bad karma into my life, but I would love to be able to file a lawsuit.
Would love to file a lawsuit. Maybe we could like go to McDonald's and be like, would love that coffee extra hot, and then get like second degree burns like that lady did,
and then be like them. I never wanted that coffee hot.
Who would want it that hot? Who would ever say that?
No,
not me.
They really did defame her, though, because it actually did give her, like, third-degree burns.
Like, had really bad... And then Seinfeld, you know, did an episode where they, like, made fun of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that was the only unethical thing Seinfeld ever did. I'm kidding. But it was really funny because Kramer got, like, second-degree burns from a coffee, and then he put, like, balm on it. And his lawyer was really mad at him because he was like, who told you to put balm on? Because it, like, healed it enough where it looked like he didn't get hurt at all. Anyways.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. We've probably talked about it before, but, like, I remember in health class them being like, this was so messed up that this lady was like, my coffee was too hot and got $1 million from McDonald's. I'm like, why is this in the curriculum? Also, first of all, and then second of all.
Why was that in health
not
class?
Not true. It was literally in my health class.
Yeah, because I think we learned, did you have to watch like Super Size Me?
Yeah.
Groundbreaking yes. film where that guy learned that if you ate McDonald's every day for a month, you would get really fat. Like,
and then they showed it to every, like they showed it to every kid in America. And to like, this day, I think they still do. Like there's nothing better.
Do. It's like, do you think that we're eating McDonald's like that? And by the way, people who do eat McDonald's like that, often it's because they can't afford other food.
Yeah.
Like, who are you helping with that?
Is there is there no better documentary about health that they could show to every student? I don't know.
That's the best one.
We're off course, but it.
Yeah, we veered off a little bit.
How was your Thanksgiving?
We're like swerving on the road. My Thanksgiving was fine. We didn't go to see family this year, which was like a first. Although I think I forgot that last year my parents both had COVID. So we just had like a really sad Thanksgiving where we ate on a card table in front of the TV. Like it was really, we had like a rotisserie chicken. Like it was like a really sad Thanksgiving. And I completely forgot. Somebody was like, what'd you do last year? And I was like,
unlocked the
I
memory.
Don't know. Like I blocked it out. But yeah, this was, we went to our family friend's house, which was really lovely. It's just nice to be with family, friends. Like, you know, my brother even came, which was crazy. And
the
food was decadent. I mean, the food was crazy. The mashed potatoes, I think, were probably 20,000 million calories, if I want to get it right.
Totally.
But it was so worth it because I just think Thanksgiving is about eating food that's bad for you. Like,
decadence.
I don't understand people who are like, yes, it's decadent. I don't understand people who are like, we need to like make healthy Thanksgiving option. No, we don't.
No.
It's one day. It's literally one day. If you can't eat unhealthy food for one day, you have problems.
I would agree with that. I absolutely 100% do. I had the exact same thought in my head. I was like, this is a day where you eat the most lovely, yummy yummies that you possibly can. And you don't think about the consequences. Also,
you don't.
It's not like we're going to eat that much. We get full. We have bodies that tell us when we're full.
It's one meal. It's literally one meal. Yeah. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, the whole rhetoric of like, gotta earn a second piece of pie. No, you don't.
Normalize it.
It's one day.
Normalize
it. Literally one day. Eat whatever you want, queens. Any holiday, by the way, I feel like is like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. Valentine's Day, all the candy you want. Christmas.
Halloween, same.
Yeah. Similar to Thanksgiving, I would say. We have similar meals. There's gravy involved.
Yeah.
In our,
totally. Mashed potatoes involved.
But Thanksgiving for my family is largely about the Cowboys because the Cowboys play every Thanksgiving. And they did an incredible job. They really won. However, we're in the same division as the Eagles. And the Eagles are doing better than anybody. So we are going to have to be a wild card. And we keep watching the games, hoping someone can beat the Eagles. The Chiefs couldn't do it. The Bills couldn't do it. The Eagles, first of all, they have incredible luck. They are a great team. But then also the refs really love them. They really love them no matter who they're playing. And I'm like, how is this so standard? How is this allowed?
And here's the thing. Like, I support you.
Right.
And so I support the Cowboys. But... Jalen Hurts is my quarterback, so I have been enjoying that.
Yeah, no, that and that's big. You probably are doing really well.
I'm doing okay now. I'm like 7-5. Like, I'm not great.
I think I'm like fourth place right now in my league. Like, upper middle is where I'm swaying between.
I think I'm fourth place now. I was fifth place before, but I won this week.
It's hard, you guys. It's hard to be... A consistent...
Sorry, not to keep talking about fantasy football, but my uncle is... he's like 10-1 or something. Like, he's only lost one time. And it's like...
Like the Eagles.
You don't... Like, what the hell, dude? Like, that's crazy. Everyone's trying to take him down. And I'm like, take his ass down.
Take him down.
Yeah.
Not one bad week
anyways
for him?
One. He had one bad week.
Yeah. It just makes sense. It doesn't make sense. But
it's not possible.
I did see the new Hunger Games movie, and I will say, I think that it's one of the best book adaptations that we have.
The Hunger Games series?
Yeah, in general. Like, if I compare it, besides Lord of the Rings, besides Game of Thrones, because those, of course.
And Harry Potter, they did a good job with Harry Potter.
They did a good job with Harry Potter. Yeah, that was the, I totally forgot. But I think... They flopped a lot with book adaptations. The Percy Jackson series, boring. Artemis Fowl sucked, which was really disappointing, mind you.
Really disappointing, mind you.
I actually recently made a list of all of my favorite, not young adult books, but like third grade through middle school aged books. And like Pendragon, I don't know if you ever read those. That was huge for me. Did you ever read like Animorphs?
You know what? I wasn't an Animorphs girl. My brother read Animorphs.
I think they were a little bit inappropriate, if I'm remembering correctly. But all of my siblings read them first. So I was like, I already had all the books available to me. But Pendragon, yeah. Artemis Fowl, Redwall, the Inkheart series, Percy Jackson
Inkheart
series.
Inkheart was so good. And they that movie, too.
I know. That I'm okay with them doing remakes. If it was like a really flop situation,
if they fucked it up,
you know, like if it was a good movie, like they don't need to remake Twilight.
Twilight's fine. Twilight, we don't need to redo that one.
Twilight's a classic.
I actually watched The Hunger Games, the first one, last night.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great
so
thing to do.
Good. Yeah, I'm rewatching all of them, and I'm like, God damn, they did such a good job. They really, really did a good job because you know what? Like, it is a YA. novel, mm-hmm. and like it wasn't that time when all those like YA like love triangle stories were popular, and they tried it a little bit with those books, but they didn't shy away from like how dark it
they
is
didn't focus
and how like
on it that much.
Fucked up it like they really let the novel actually be what it was, which is like really creepy and really disturbing. Like,
yeah, and
it's scary.
It's very topical too, I think. Mm-hmm. Like the things that she was basing it off of, I think I saw on Twitter recently, it was like during the Iran war.
She was watching, she was flipping between coverage of the Iraq war. It was Iraq at the time.
Yeah.
She was flipping between coverage of the Iraq war and like reality shows. And she was like, it's crazy that we like sort of have both of these going at the same time. And like, that's.
Yeah. Cause I remember watching those movies and being like, it's crazy how much this applies to what's going on right now. But then I was like, well, cause this has been going on for quite some time.
Guess what? Yeah. But yeah, they did not
disappoint.
They didn't like sugarcoat it at all.
Yeah.
Like, they let it be what it is, which is a book about how this society makes children murder each other and turn it into a spectacle. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we enjoyed it, and I would recommend. There was one thing I think is just that it's hard when a book series focuses on the character's like inner monologue. It's hard to make the inner monologue shine through in a movie. Like, you can see Snow making these bad decisions, and it's more clear in the book that he's being selfishly doing those things. But when you're just seeing someone make those decisions, you kind of like give them the benefit of the doubt of like, oh, maybe he has no other choice. Maybe he can't think of, you know, but it's hard to like that in book to movie adaptations.
Yeah, totally. But I would recommend you read the book if you haven't read the books or read the book, any of the books. Actually, if you've never read The Hunger Games, you've like only seen the movie or something, you should read them. Like they've got details and they're fucking sickening.
I think I'm gonna go reread them. I think it's like time. I was in like third grade when I read those.
Was it no, we were older. We were in like middle school when those came out.
It was like around the time of Twilight, I think.
Which was, we were like sixth grade, I think, was Twilight.
I think like the third, I think the third Twilight book came out in sixth grade. But you wrote horny book dedication on our on our notes. What does that mean?
Wait, did you not see this on Twitter? I thought we talked about it. Oh my God. Okay. So you know how we were talking about how these books are like the guy that was like, women are just reading porn. And we were like, no, they're not. And like, okay, well, okay. So this woman wrote a book and then a girl made a TikTok being like, when you're starting a new book and this is the dedication, I'm going to read this dedication to you and I need you to know that I would never ever say these words if I wasn't reading it for this podcast. Okay.
Be normal about this, you guys. Be normal. Yeah. Be normal.
Be normal.
Don't do anything weird with this. Sorry, you go.
To the girls who fuck the villains, open your mouth wide and take it like a good girl. This is the dedication. This, the book hasn't even started yet. And this is the dedication. Now, I am no book prude. If you want to read porn, you can read porn. But I can't believe that I was sitting here being like, no, that's not what it's about. And then everyone on Twitter is like, yeah, actually it is. It is actually. And we're okay with that.
I mean, it's just an aggressive, like, you usually they have to ease you into that, right? Like, you build the romantic tension, like, starting off with a dedication like that.
It's like, I'm
I'm not there yet, queen. Like, we're not there yet.
I don't know you like that, girl. Like, I just couldn't believe I was looking at that. And Twitter is like very like crazy about it. Like, I think people are overreacting to it a little bit, like basically writing think pieces about how this is the end of modern literature, feminism has a real problem. Like, it's fine. Like, it's actually not that big of a deal. It's just a little weird. I think it's just a little weird.
It's not modern literature. It's just one genre of book. Like, it's literally just a genre.
It's just one book.
It's one book in one genre. It's not modern literature as a whole.
Feminism does not have a problem because somebody wrote a horny book dedication.
Yeah, I don't know how that even has to do with feminism. Like, it's just because women are being horny, I guess.
Women are not allowed to be horny. I don't know if you know that. Actually, women can't be horny. It's not allowed.
And feminism is making women horny, and then it's ruining literature and critical thought. Yeah.
Okay, we got there.
I just don't know why people care so much.
I don't either.
But I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you have a specific holiday cookie that you make? What's your cookie? What's your cookie? Or if you have more than one, what are your cookies?
So we definitely always made cookies on like Christmas Eve. Like that was a big thing. So for me, it's like Christmas cookies are like Christmas cookies. Mm-hmm. But so my grandma always makes sugar cookies and then we ice them. Like we like make designs on them and stuff, which is sweet. And let's see, like it depends. Like I like to make those crinkle cookies. You know, the chocolate ones that are like powdered sugar and chocolate and they're crinkly. Ginger snaps are big Christmas cookies for us. Shortbread, and then
I love shortbread. It's so easy to make.
It's literally like three ingredients. And then there's this one kind of cookie called a spritz cookie. It's kind of old fashioned, and you have to make it with this like very specific machine that my grandma has from like the 20s. but those are fucking delicious. They're just hard to make.
That's awesome. I get why you had that reaction to my cookie thing then, because it's so it's specific for you.
Mm-hmm.
We do like peanut butter balls, thin mints. I think this year we're gonna try to do those sugar cook, like the peanut butter melt away, like they have the chocolate the Hershey's chocolate
with the
in the
Hershey
middle.
Kiss in the middle.
Yeah, because I haven't made those before. I love those. But whenever I go to a holiday party, those are the cookies that I'm like, I need that. And the crinkle ones you mentioned are so good. But
so good.
We could put our recipes maybe on the Instagram for our favorite holiday cookies at some point. So
we could.
Follow
My
us.
Mom always, yeah. So follow us on Instagram
at Late Night Drive Pod, and you know, stay tuned
for some recipes. Yeah, my mom always wants to make something that's like chocolate and peppermint, which I'm like, I don't want to eat chocolate. Like, I think it has its place. I don't think it's disgusting, but like, I don't want peppermint with chocolate most of the time.
Oh, so we put like a little bit of peppermint extract in the chocolate, and it's like hot. It's not that much. Like, do you like Girl Scout Thin Mints and or Andes Mints?
I like them. It's just that I don't want to have it all the time. I think some things should be left. Like, I don't want to have like a chocolate chip cookie that also has like peppermint chips, you know?
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. It has to be like specifically that kind of thing. And
Yeah,
I totally hear what you're saying. I feel the same way about nuts, oatmeal, you know, all kinds of things. I'm like,
they have their place. They have their place, but like, it has to be the right thing. I'm kind of a purist when it comes to desserts. Like, sorry.
I wonder if that also is like a like the trait overlaps with the not wanting your food to touch thing. Like, I wonder if the...
Oh, you mean, is it like, am I mentally ill? Probably.
I'm not saying is it a mental illness thing. I'm just wondering if that preference overlaps at all. Probably not. Maybe not.
I think that like having like specific weird food things, it is all just sort of interconnected. Yeah.
Like not wanting a bunch of different things in one bite kind of type vibe, you know?
Like, I don't like those like kitchen sink cookies, you know? Like a mishmash cookie that has like a monster cookie has like everything in it. I'm like, no, you pick one.
Ooh, wait, you know what would be so fun? If people sent us their favorite holiday cookie and then we pick one recipe to make.
Make it, eat it, from slay.
From your family recipes. Whoa. There is a little problem on the Instagram where apparently like some people can't message us anymore. Like after sending one message, they can't send us more messages, which I find really
That's
disturbing.
Weird.
It's just like a stupid new setting that they put in there.
Dumb.
And I would know because I sent Han Sohee one message and now I can't send her anymore.
And these things do happen.
These things do happen.
These things do happen.
What is that from?
It's from Phantom of the Opera, and I'm so glad that you knew that it was from something.
These things do happen.
Yeah. Do happen.
When she's leaving, when the diva's leaving.
All this thing, time.
This thing does not happen.
If this thing keeps happening, this thing does not happen.
I love that movie. That's my favorite movie. That's kind of a holiday movie to me.
That's your favorite movie. I agree that it's kind of, because there's snow.
The wishing you were somehow here again scene.
Yeah, totally. It's Christmassy. I'll give you that.
You wrote down science question, space period, space will reveal on show. You
yeah,
want to surprise
I didn't want
me
you
with
to
it?
Be able to, I didn't want you to be able to prepare.
I do that to you sometimes, so I get it.
I do, but now I only sort of vaguely remember what the question was and not why I was asking it. So that's not good. It was about smell
we'll
and taste. Okay. But I don't remember why I wanted to ask about smell and taste.
Is it like how smell can affect taste, or like how if you look at a Skittle, the red ones can taste different, or like something?
You know
like-
what it was? Oh my God, I keep seeing these ads. I don't know if you've seen these ads at all on like YouTube. I don't know if you like watch YouTube ever, but there's these like ads for this water bottle, and the water bottle, like, okay, scented? it has scent pods that go on the top of it, like where you drink.
Oh.
And theoretically, if you smell, it smells like, you know, lemon basil or something. And then when you drink, the water tastes like lemon basil because you're smelling it. And I am so curious about this. And I'm like, do you think that that actually makes the water taste different, or are you just smelling something and then drinking water? Like,
I think it does, because I think that all of our senses send signals to our brain, and like the way that we taste things is based on a signal to our brain. So if there's also smell senses being sent there, this could be wrong, but it feels right. It feels right.
The thing is, I feel like it only goes one way and doesn't go the other way. Like, if you can't smell, like, you know, when you have a cold and you can't smell things, and then your taste is like funky because you can't smell, you're like missing mm-hmm. half the
like
smell.
Like, food isn't as but good.
But I don't mm-hmm. think it goes the other way, where like smelling something can make you taste something. Like, I think
it can.
I don't know that that makes sense.
I don't know if it makes sense, but I do think I've experienced it.
Mm. Okay, so this is the thing. I want to buy this water bottle. The brand is Air Up. And if any of you have tried it, I really want to hear about it. All these like YouTubers have codes for it. So by the way, Air Up, if you want to send us water bottles
we
can try your product, we would literally love. I don't understand how science works, and I don't get why taste and smell are connected.
But it also works for sight. Like, it also works for color. Like, people will think that there's different flavors in candies that are just different colors and don't actually have different flavors.
That's interesting. But what about like eating food blindfolded? Does that make a difference?
I think that part of like really, really nice restaurants is making it look really pretty, because that affects it. And like the way that you taste. I think it does. I think I don't know if it does like a huge difference, but I think on a basic level it can. But like, yeah, I think if you had food blindfolded, it would still taste pretty much the way that it does.
Would you know, okay, if we blindfolded you, if I blindfolded you and fed you things, do you think you would know what you were eating?
Yeah.
They do that on Hell's Kitchen, where they do blind taste tests.
It's not all smell or sights, but it is part of it.
Yeah, but people have a really hard time with it when they do it on like Top Chef and stuff. So I wonder if I could do it.
Because I won't eat square pizza.
For you think me, it tastes different?
Yeah, I think a triangle pizza always tastes better and different to me.
Okay.
I don't know.
And I really respect you.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I have things like that. I just can't think of them right now. So I like understand where you're coming from. But that's my science question, is do you think Air Up works?
No, that's a good question.
I
kind of
want to buy it, but I don't know. I don't want to get scammed.
No, I totally think that would work. Like, I really do. And I think there's credence to it. Is that?
Totally, girl. Yeah, I'm glad that I asked you, because honestly, like, I trust you. I'm not sure if I trust like Curtis Connor on science.
Yeah, you trust.
I'm like, he's saying that it tastes like something, but I don't know. You're getting paid to say that.
And I've not been paid. What's hot vulnerability versus icky vulnerability, queen?
What is hot? Yeah, I saw a tweet about this and I thought it was interesting. Because basically the premise of this tweet was like, women, when they date people, women value, no matter who you're dating, you value vulnerability, because vulnerability is attractive. But then all these men were responding, it's like, yeah, but I know that women don't find it attractive when you're vulnerable, so I don't get that. And somebody had to clarify, like, well, there's a difference between hot vulnerability and icky vulnerability. Like, icky vulnerability is like, wah, I'm baby, hold me, tell me I'm great. I'm so scared of everything all the time, please hold me and tell me I'm baby and hold me. Versus like, hey, I'm a grown-up, not baby, not wah-wah baby. I'm a grown-up, and I'm working really hard to make my life better, but sometimes I have a hard time, and it's scary. Hold me.
Yeah.
It's not a big difference, but there is a difference between, like, hot vulnerability and icky vulnerability.
Yeah, it took me a second to even think of what icky vulnerability would be, because to me, the word vulnerability is so just, like, sharing things that are important and, like, maybe a little hard to talk about. I'm sure that I have had experiences where I've been like, you didn't need to tell me that. But I can't like think of them really off the top of my head.
Maybe icky vulnerability is like, I'm just like, I'm dark and I'm misunderstood because my girlfriend cheated on me when I was 16. That's a key vulnerability.
Right. Yeah, I feel like there are some things where a guy could be too honest about his deep, dark thoughts and
what your demons are
and feelings. Like, oh, okay, icky vulnerability. Okay. When my ex asked me why 303 had more streams than him and was genuinely upset about it. Right?
Look, like, you should be able to, like, share your insecurities right. and your vulnerabilities with your partner. And this, it's not a thing where you want to, like, overthink it. But, like, there are ways where it's, like, less attractive when.
Right. It's like, what is it that you think about yourself, like, truly in your heart of hearts that's making you think that this is, actually a really fucked up, unfair thing and not a crazy question to ask me? You know? Like, it's technically vulnerable. But
at what cost? No, and I also think, like, sometimes self-pity, like, too much self-pity can be, like, icky vulnerability. Because, like, I feel bad for myself. I feel sorry for myself all the time. But I'm very self-aware of the fact that, like, I'm feeling sorry for myself. And sometimes I want to throw myself a pity party. Not being self-aware of the fact that you are throwing a pity party is, like, icky vulnerability.
Yeah, like, I think we want to be very clear that, like, we encourage people to be vulnerable with us, and any of these things are okay and actually good in a certain amount. Mm-hmm. But then there are definitely people who push it a little too hard and have this complex about thinking they deserve way more than they have, and, like, I, like, just don't appreciate things at all. And then the vulnerable, it's not even, I guess it is real vulnerability, but it's more like delusional vulnerability, if that makes sense. Like, all of the examples I can think of are just like, okay, grow up a little bit. Like, look at the real world and like what people are actually dealing with.
You're absolutely allowed to share however you're feeling, and you should be able to share that
every once in a while.
And have a pity party without judgment from your partner. Mm-hmm. It's just that when it's like, every week and it's every day and it's someone not taking any solutions, not taking any steps to like make things better, and just wants to be held like a baby and told that they're perfect,
right? Like,
there's where you're sort of like
someone who had a mother who mothered them a little too hard.
Mm-hmm.
To be very clear, Ellie and I have pity parties with each other all the time where we're complaining about something that we know isn't like actually that big of a deal in the grand scheme of the world. Obviously that's what close people are for. I think it's interesting how there is like a whole genre of men on Twitter who will see women talking about something and be like, that's not true, and then bring up something completely different. Kind of like, obviously we're talking about sharing things about yourself. We're not talking about you, like, saying you went to jail and now they're acting weird.
I also think, like, there was something in this about, like, well, women don't want to see men crying or that kind of thing. And it's like, that's not true. Like, that isn't true.
Maybe some women, but not any of the ones that I know. So.
Yeah, I'm sure that there is a woman out there somewhere who's like, a man sharing any of his feelings is disgusting to me. Because you're not manly if you do that. But she sucks. Like, that fictional woman I just made up, she sucks. You should always feel comfortable, you know, being vulnerable. It's just like, there is some vulnerability that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to name it. But if you've seen it, you've seen it. And you know it when you saw it.
you know exactly what we're talking about. I feel like we're not, like, defining it well. But I know it's, like, pornography. You can't really define it. But you know it when you see it. Because in a vacuum, any of these things are fine.
Yes.
It's just, like, in the right context.
That's why
you're like, what in the world?
That's why I hesitate to even give any of these examples. Because I'm like, technically, if someone else said these things and they weren't the way that they were, I wouldn't mind it, you know. I would,
yeah, you know what, that's a good thing, that's a good point too. Maybe it's more of a sign, like, if somebody's vulnerability feels icky to you, like, maybe they're not for you, because like, if I can't take your pain seriously, I might not like you very much.
It's sometimes vulnerability is used as like a manipulation tactic,
absolutely, like, yeah,
to kind of get you to care, and then they're like, I don't know, like when you're going through a breakup with somebody, the vulnerability that they use can be really totally not sincere and used as like a weapon in a way.
I've also had it like in my life used in a way that was like, I have been through these things and I'm telling you that because I'm vulnerable. And by the way, because I've told you that I've been through all these things, nothing that you've ever been through could possibly be as bad as what I've gone through, and make sure you know that, you know, like made me feel very invalidated in my own experiences because theirs were so, to them, theirs were the like the worst thing that ever happened to them.
Or you can't go out with your friends because I was cheated on. And who would ever say that?
Who has ever said that one?
And then, no, I've actually really had that where it's been like, I've been so vulnerable with you about this and you still want to go out with your friends? Like the end. It's, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. Please, if you're listening to this and think we've made fun of something that you've said before, know that we haven't. We're talking about very specific kinds of people using certain things in certain ways, you know? We get so nervous
being, that we're going to... disingenuous. Yeah. I know. I don't want to like offend anybody. Like, I do want you to feel comfortable always being vulnerable. It's such an important part of dating and relationships. Like, if you want a real relationship, you have to be vulnerable and you can't be like nervous about it. So I don't want you to be scared that every time you're vulnerable with a woman, she's sitting there thinking, is it icky or is it hot? Because we're not.
It's rare. Because I wasn't even thinking of icky vulnerability until a man said that it was a thing. I had never even thought of icky vulnerability until the men in the comments said it was a thing. It wasn't even like something I thought about previously, because it is so rarely crosses my mind.
No, I literally think it's only when the vulnerability is being used in a way that's like manipulative. Like that's what icky vulnerability is. It's like when it's not actually genuine. Because if you're really being genuinely vulnerable, it's never going to be icky because it's a beautiful thing.
Even if it's dramatic, even if it's like a little bit silly, even if it's a little ridiculous, it's still like valid. You're always valid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else you wanted to catch up on?
The dog lady? Oh, we don't have to talk about her, though.
I don't, like, totally know my feelings on that.
Oh, if you don't know what we're talking about, there was somebody who tweeted on Twitter. She twote.
Right. and she,
I think it's a she. Sorry if I'm, like, misgendering this person. But that she was, like, 3-year-old ran up to my dog today and the mom was like, oh, sorry. I guess the person like body blocked the 3-year-old and the mom said, I'm sorry, she's 3. And the original tweeter said, well, if she's not on vocal recall, maybe you should have her on the leash. And like, it's a silly, like it's a dumb, it would be like a dumb tweet. But I think that what really bothered people was like, she really kind of doubled down in the comments. Like, If your child is problematic, it's not on me to do the emotional labor of teaching them not to approach a dog. Problematic child?
Yeah, I think the reason that it, part of why it's controversial and part of why it's such an interesting, fun one is because there is a normal way to have the feelings that you do about a child running up to your service dog, right? Like maybe we should tell children more to like not run up to random animals. Sure, that's a fine point. But the way that it was delivered and worded was just so ridiculous that it's like, okay, you don't have to be like that.
Yeah, and I think if at any point in your life the phrase problematic child like comes out of your mouth, like that's really a moment of self-reflection, or it should be, of like, am I being crazy right now? Like, I totally understand, like, it could be dangerous, it might not be a friendly dog, like you know, you should be careful, but also it's a 3-year-old child, you know. It's 3. And also, like, you could have said it in a nicer way. You just didn't have to be so smarmy about it. I think the tone is what made people annoyed.
And you could put on a service animal vest, probably would help.
If it's a service animal, it should maybe be wearing a little vest.
Sorry, I don't know. Is that ableist to say, or is that valid?
I don't think it's ableist against the animal. Like, I think service animals do have to wear some kind of like identification, don't they? If they're like an official service animal.
I also just think we don't live in a world where people aren't going to say hi to your dog, like, unless it's wearing a vest. We don't. We just don't live in that society.
And we just don't live in that society. I wave hello at the doggies that work at the airport.
If people don't wave at Sugar while I'm walking her, I'm like, why aren't you enamored immediately upon seeing her? You should be mouth agape, jaws dropped, running up to her saying, whoa, she's gorgeous.
I just think, like, the normal response to seeing a very cute dog is wanting to run up and say hello to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's normalize petting a dog. But you should ask before touching a dog. Absolutely.
Totally.
Always.
I mean, also, I just do want to emphasize, like, this is a 3-year-old.
Right. And back to that, it is a 3-year-old.
Like, they really... It's 3.
Put a leash on that 3-year-old.
I don't know.
One thing about...
And also sort of full offense to you, like, it is sort of your responsibility as a member of any community to, like, keep the children in your vicinity safe. That's my controversial opinion. Like, it is actually your responsibility to make sure that kid doesn't get bit by a dog, you know?
Yeah. One thing about Matt George is he was walked on a leash as a child. And that's important to remember
that
when you're remembering
correct. When you picture Matt, I hope you picture him with a leash on.
As
I think
a
that's
child.
What he would want.
He's gonna haunt me.
I kind of get it though. I kind of get, like, putting your kid on a leash. It's so scary. Like, they can just run off and get lost.
Yeah, like, I also get just shoving a tablet in their grubby little hands. I get it.
I get it. All of it.
Doesn't mean I think it's the best thing, but
but I get it. It's hard to have kids.
Should we pull over?
We should probably pull over.
So we're pulling over our sleigh.
Beep beep.
Dancer, Prancer, Hanser, Vixen, Comet, Cupid.
Hamster and Vixen.
Who am I forgetting?
You know, Dasher. You forgot Dasher. He's the first
Dasher
one.
Dasher and Dancer and
Dancer
Prancer
and Prancer and Vixen. Comet Cupid, and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen.
But do you recall?
Do you recall? Anyways,
sorry.
Let's pull over.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of events always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Like, how do you want to be remembered? Or, what was it like when you first learned how to ride a bike? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with the story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already knew, or be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After a year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I lost 3 of my 4 grandparents by the time I was 6 years old, so knowing that my future children and grandchildren would be able to get to know my parents on a personal level means everything to me. Families love Storyworth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/Ellie. That's storyworth.com/Ellie to save $10 on your first purchase.
Late Night Drive with Ellie and Michaela is brought to you by BetterHelp. So I love therapy. I have always been a huge advocate for therapy. I've been seeing my therapist for... gosh, going on 6 years now. So she's basically like a homie, less of a therapist, more of a pal. Just kidding. She actually is really, really good at her job. And I have benefited immensely from therapy. I literally feel like I wouldn't be the woman that I am today if I didn't have therapy as a resource. I think it's so good to help you work through not only like your daily problems and, you know, your work issues or your friend issues, your relationship issues, but also like work through things that have been patterns in your life that maybe you've identified but don't really know how to fix, or things like phobias, anxieties, things that you feel like you have a lack of control over. Therapy can be really helpful in making you feel like you do actually have control, because you have more control than you think that you do. But I know that it is not easy for everybody to access therapy. And that's why I love today's sponsor, BetterHelp, because, I mean, there are states in America even where there's like two therapists that take insurance, you know? Like, it's really, really important to have access to mental health, and not everybody does. And BetterHelp makes it super, super easy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give it a try. It is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So get it off your chest, whatever it is, with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/LND today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/LND. Do you know what's the wedding march? What's that tune?
Oh, da 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 da
da da da da da da. Do you have a song that you want to walk down the aisle to, or do you not know yet?
No, I feel like that'll be more based on the relationship. Probably.
Yeah, mine is not based on the relationship. It's based on what I want, because it's what I'm walking down the aisle to.
Is it a Taylor Swift song?
And, you know, it is like a harp arrangement of Invisible String.
That's actually a really beautiful
choice. Like, how
beautiful. And I will be there.
Okay, oh my God. There's this guy I have on, you will obviously be there. There's this guy on TikTok who makes like arrangements of songs for like wedding marches. And it's like always really emotional, because like, he makes it emotional. So like it would be like the twinkling, tinkling part of like Invisible String, like the do, 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 do. And then it like pauses and goes into like a string arrangement of You Are in Love. And I was like, I'm going to kill myself in front of you. I can't believe you would write a beautiful song like this.
Mine will definitely be a violin cover of something, because I love violin. And honestly, my most streamed artist of the year is Vitamin String Quartet, because I just love,
and I
love their work. But all that's to say, our roadside attraction is the $59 million wedding.
The 59, and you did hear us correctly.
The $59 million wedding.
$59 million wedding.
Of like an auto shop owner, car heiress.
Okay.
Not auto shop, car dealership heiress.
Right. When I saw this at first, I didn't know whose wedding it was. I assumed it was like a sheik. Like, I assumed it was like an oil baron or something, like a Saudi princess. Like, I literally was like, there's no way. No. It's literally Mikaeli and Brayden from like Florida. Like, it's crazy.
From
there's
South
no
Florida.
World. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. And these people, her parents, they owned a couple dealerships in South Florida. And that somehow, one of their dealerships sold, I guess, for like $150 million. But then to put half of that money into a wedding still sounds weird to me. Well, I just think there's something funky going on, something fishy going on here.
I don't understand. When I saw that all of the money was because her dad owned two car dealerships, mind you, I don't know that much about what car dealerships are worth, but like, I did not think this could make any sense. I thought there was funny business going on at the car dealerships. That's what I was thinking. But these people...
It's like cars with a side of cocaine. Like, I don't know.
Exactly.
They're clearly money laundering.
That's what I was thinking. They, like, flew all of their guests out on private jets.
On private?
What? Mm-hmm. Like, what? For what reason?
They rented out Versailles.
Yeah. A portion of it.
Like, the actual Versailles. Like the place where literal kings and queens lived. It's literally, and I'm not joking, all the bridesmaids are like Bama sorority girls. Like, it's unbelievable.
Even though I understand that that would be very expensive, to me, it still doesn't seem like $59 million worth of expensive.
I don't know. They like rented out Chanel's showroom and Dior's showroom and like went shopping and like... The dress was expensive and the food was expensive. Like, but 59, how do you even spend that much money? Also, I looked at their registry because I'm fucking nosy. Everything on that registry was crazy. And it was often, a lot of it was from the same place, which is another thing where I'm like, this is a money laundering scheme. I don't know why I'm so sure, but I'm so sure. There was a picture frame that was like $750 just for a picture frame. I'm like, that's crazy. There were a lot of figurines of like tigers. There was a $15,000 butterfly habitat that was basically just a glass cage.
Why and how? I don't understand. I mean, I guess there's just like so many beautiful places that don't cost $50 million. Like, I don't know how much the renting of Versailles specifically cost alone.
But there's so many beautiful weddings that don't even cost
$100,000,
you know? Like, no,
you could rent out a whole island. You could rent out like, you could build a palace. For $59 million, you can get like one of the most beautiful homes in one of the most expensive areas in the world and own it forever. Like,
forever.
I don't. You could build a palace.
I'm sorry. It just stinks to me. Like, there has to be something else going on here because, like, how did they spend that much money on one day?
I mean, I'm sure it was beautiful. I'm sure it was magical. But when I read the article and it was like, people are calling it the wedding of the century, the most beautiful, blah, blah, and I was like, I just think it's weird. I'm sorry. I'm sure it was a beautiful day, but it's odd to me. It doesn't make sense.
It's very
odd. A gross amount of wealth to spend on a wedding.
One day.
I don't find that romantic. I find that ridiculous because I just think it's not just about spending a lot of money. It's about managing your money badly. Like, that just isn't, it doesn't make sense. Is it a tax write-off to spend money on a wedding? I don't get what the...
I don't think so. I don't understand. And you know what the funniest part is? Her, what are those things called? Oh, her bachelorette party was Marie Antoinette themed. Okay. A little on the nose. Okay. I'm going to be so for real with you. It's a little on the nose. Somebody's going to guillotine you for that kind of money. Like, be careful.
I don't know. I do want to see more videos of it because I actually really do love beautiful
find your
wedding.
TikTok.
I love beautiful wedding content. I love looking at cakes that are beautiful, like flower arrangements that are beautiful, dresses that are beautiful.
Her name is Madeline Legrand or something. That's her married name. I don't know what her unmarried name is. But if you want to look her up, the $59 million wedding, she's got wedding content up on her TikTok and it's crazy.
What incredible love her parents must have for her to spend 60% of their fortune on just her wedding.
Like, that doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Even if he sold one of the auto shops for $100 million, I don't think you get $100 million. Like, I don't think you get to keep $100 million after taxes. Like, something's not adding up, and we need someone down for us. We need someone to, like, break down how this makes sense.
Somebody on TikTok said, like, this is the prequel to the next hottest Netflix murder documentary. Like,
well, I'm looking up what something can you buy with 50 wait what can you buy.
I think you could probably cure homelessness. Like, I like, it's crazy. It's just crazy to spend that much on one day. It's crazy to spend that much in general, but for one day.
This is like a stupid article. Didn't Elon Musk once tell the government he could like solve homelessness with $5 million or something, and they gave it to him and he didn't?
That's hilarious if that's true. I should start doing that. Give me $5 million. I will fix the world's ills. And I'll be like, I tried. I'm kidding.
Oh my God. The houses that you can buy are insane. You can buy huge yachts. You can buy, like, and that's not even touching the money. You can buy a private jet. You don't need to, like, just have people use it briefly.
Okay, I have a theory. Mm-hmm. Maybe like the parents now are starting an event planning business and they're using the wedding as like advertisement. So it's a tax write-off to make it really elaborate because they bought everything technically for the business.
That's a good theory. And we'll find out in the coming months if it could be true. I just feel like there's drugs involved. That's just really what my heart is telling me. My heart is saying drugs.
There has to be drugs. Mm-hmm. And I've always said that.
And normalize it. Yeah. Normalize it.
And Well, normalize $59 million weddings.
With drugs involved.
With drugs involved.
Okay, I have a question for you. And someone sent us this question via our Instagram, Late Night Drive Pod. And they sent, we've got many questions and we will be pulling from them in the weeks to come. Has there ever been a moment where y'all thought y'all were going to be canceled?
Yes.
Oh, when you did the dad thing?
No. Okay. So I used to do this. Oh, when you worked
at Barstool?
So when I worked at Barstool, there was this show that we would do. And it was every morning. And it was just a Snapchat show about pop culture. And it was... when I tell you, like, we did not know what the fuck was going on. So they would give us the topics and we would just, like, have to talk about them. Like, it wasn't like we ever did research. So anytime you ever saw that show, it was called The Group Chat. It was on Snapchat. If you ever saw me on that, just know, didn't know what I was talking about, making it up on the spot. Mm. So one week there was a story about, who were those? Was it you that was a fan of them? They were brothers and they did YouTube.
The Dolan twins.
The Dolan twins. No,
I was not a fan of them, but there was a month in 2017 that I watched a lot of their videos to get me through a depression.
And that's valid. So this was in 2019, I think. They said that they were quitting YouTube because they were like too stressed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, I don't know who the fuck these people are. We don't know anything about this. So we were like, you know, I think anyone's obviously allowed to quit any job that they want to quit. But like, too stressed out. It's YouTube. It's a pretty easy job. Like, I think like that's kind of a privileged position to hold, to say that you're stressed out from YouTube. Anyways, I don't know. It was something along those lines. Don't remember what we exactly said. Their stans found this clip.
Yeah, was this right after their father died?
I don't know. This was in 2019, but yeah, their stans like found the clip and were like sending it to us over and over, being like, hashtag cancel at Barstool Rhea and at Ellie Schnitt because they said this thing. And we're like, we don't even know who these people are. We literally don't get paid enough. Like, yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about here. But that was it. I was like, I'm going to get canceled because I talked about these children that I don't know who they are. And that's on me and I should do my research.
Mine is similar. Mine was not, well, it was about a fandom. It was because a fandom specifically was mad at me.
It's always because of fandom.
It always is. And it's never like the general public really. Well, we've had the general public like make fun of us, but not necessarily
not
try to
cancel us
for something we've said. But it was like a K-pop thing. I hesitate.
Oh, no.
I hesitate to say this.
Don't even say the name.
I'm not going to say, but like, obviously I'm a Blackpink fan. And I was posting about Blackpink's new album, and I guess someone was like paying Twitter users to quote tweet and like advertise the album or something. But then fans of other K-pop groups were like saying I was paid to post it. And I was like, oh my God, I wasn't paid to post it. I'm a huge fan. Like, you can't post an ad and like not hashtag ad. I wouldn't do that. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I could get banned from the app. It's like against the terms of service. And like, this is my job. So I wouldn't do that. And then they were like, that's not fucking true. Like, obviously, tons of people reply the vibrator ad to their popular tweets. And like, tons of people like retweet stuff and get
illegal.
Paid for it and don't post ad. And I'm like, I don't know. They basically were just making fun of it. They were really mad. And then I was like, I don't know why you're mad at me. I like members of that group too. And they were like, get their name out of your mouth. They were pissed. And then I was liking a few tweets defending me because they were so mad at me. And one of them misspelled one of the guy in the group's names on purpose, I guess, to like make it an insult. And I liked that tweet. They were like, I don't know why you're mad. Focus on blah, blah, blah. And like misspelled the name. And I liked that. And then they were so mad at me. I had to turn my DMs off. I was like actually stressed. I was getting told to die in every language that exists. Like, I was scared that they were going to just find anything they possibly could from any time in my past. But if you pass the K-pop stan trying to ruin your life test, I think you're pretty good. But it was bad. I was like actually worried for a bit.
Dude, the K-pop stans are so scary. I think stans in general are really scary.
And like, it was one of those things where people I knew were like, yeah, that did appear on my feed. So I was like, oh, great. That's awesome. And I never I never meant to insult them. If you're a fan of anyone, I never did. I have no problem with that group. I was trying to defend Blackpink, you guys. That's all I was trying to do. I wasn't paid. I'm a stan.
She's a stan, okay? Yeah, you can't anger the K-pop people. I feel like people have gotten mad about like stupid tweets. Like when people were calling me an abuser because I sometimes I don't like the same movies as my boyfriend.
I got called an abuser. That's like a huge thing. My tweet was actually stupid, though. But it was like in 2018, 2017, okay. I tweeted like, having a kid sounds stressful because you don't know how much childhood trauma they need to turn out funny, which is like, is stupid. It was dumb and I was stupid. Young.
I know that you didn't mean it like, I'm going to abuse my child that they're funny.
By childhood trauma, I didn't mean abuse or like really terrible things. I just meant
literally,
like,
of course you didn't.
Maybe, you know, maybe like a year that they don't have the most friends. I don't know.
Michaela, any normal person knew what you meant. Like, it's just people love to get angry. Oh my God, that's funny.
Was
also, I'm sorry.
It was also kind of before the time. Like, it wasn't something people were saying that much then, but now it's like, okay, we don't need to make jokes about like people needing to have trauma to be funny. Type thing, like now that's kind of overdone.
Before then, I don't know. It was, but also like that was during a time when people on Twitter, there were certain people on Twitter who would have taken any opportunity to twist like what we were saying, in a really serious way. So it was hard out there for a minute.
I think people still do that, but now I don't look at the quotes and replies to my
and now I don't care. It's none of my business.
I'm like,
oh, I have a lot of comments. Bet they're all positive.
Yeah. I'm like, I know I didn't say anything that was bad by this. So if people take it that way, I'm just not going to handle it. It's not for me.
It's really none of my business the way that you take my tweet.
Yeah, but you really do have to be careful with fandoms.
You have to be careful.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how people get that way. Like, I love Taylor Swift, would probably take a bullet for her. But, like, I'm not on Stan Twitter being crazy about people.
I did unfollow a mutual of mine for tweeting something negative about Blackpink. But I wouldn't, like, go to their home and threaten them.
No, I would unfollow somebody for tweeting something about Taylor Swift. I would definitely unfollow them. But I'm not going to dox them. And I think that's what makes us so cool and normal.
We're like, I would unfollow, but I wouldn't like send a squad team to their house.
Here's the thing. It all lives online. Okay. Like, I'm going to be upset at you online and in the real world. It's not going to be something that I really think about that much. You know,
yeah.
I'll never take it into the grass. That's all I'm saying.
We're so normal.
Although I will say, like, when I meet somebody and they like say that like they don't like Taylor Swift, like, I like them less, you know.
I think that's allowed.
I think it's normal.
It's totally allowed. It's like if someone, it's not the same, but if someone was like, oh, I don't like your friend, I'd be like, okay, fuck you.
I'd be like, okay, I don't like you. Yeah, it's like sometimes people will be like, oh, like you shouldn't say that in front of Ellie because she's a big Taylor Swift fan. And then I have to sit there like an asshole and be like, yeah, you really shouldn't say that in front of me because I'm not going to like you now. like, oh, haha, that's so funny. Now I don't like you. So I hope your joke was worth it. You know, like.
Okay, should we get a traffic report?
I would love to give a traffic report.
How's the weather, Ellie? Give us the weather. You're the weatherman.
By the way, and I want to say this, 22 degrees and snowing where I am.
That's really scary. I'm going to be in Colorado soon, so it's snowed there already, and I will see the snow. Maybe I'll find some cute earmuffs, some cute gloves, get a picture. Snow does give really good lighting.
Okay, what do we need to know for our little traffic report this week to make it the best week ever? I'm feeling pretty optimistic, by the way, about this week.
I feel more optimistic than I have, actually. But it's not because anything good has really changed, but I'm feeling better. I'm trying, you know? Oh, no. What, Ellie, you made the most depressing face.
I'm sorry, it's just really funny because it's death. Okay. But like, Death can be a bad card.
Death can be good. It's not a bad card.
It's actually a really lovely card. It's about transformation and new beginnings, which I definitely feel is what we need. Like, we definitely need to like let certain parts of us die in order to become the best versions of ourselves. Whether if that's letting your fears die or your insecurities die, also transitioning. So if that's something that you're looking at, maybe now's the time. But yeah, definitely this is new beginnings and transformation and change. And I think like as scary as change is, it's almost never a bad thing. So keep in mind that if your things are changing a lot for you right now, you should embrace that because it will lead you somewhere good.
I also think like change can almost always feel bad in the beginning, but then after you go through the process, you're happy that you did. So if you've been struggling the past month, like so many of us have, it's crazy that November is almost done because I thought we were still in October a little bit in my head.
I know.
But I remember we said October was a really bad month. November kind of continued that. And it is a time where both Ellie and I have been like, we need to change. We need to change. So this is a good card. I think the struggles, we'll be thankful for them because they push you. They push you to make a drastic decision and try something that could make everything better in the long run.
Yeah, because like moving forward is always better than staying still.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that
unless you get a settlement. unless you get a really good settlement from a lawsuit.
Oh, unless you are in a lawsuit, and
then you can just stay still after that for a while.
And then you can get a farm and just like grow fruit and like pet chickens and stuff.
And that's what's in the future for us. I really do think so.
So, and that's what's in our future, hopefully.
Do you want to take the honors of shouting out our birthday pigs today?
Ooh, I'd love to shout out our birthday pigs today. So I want to say thank you to all of our patrons, but particularly our birthday pigs, Curtis, Katie, Maya, Nathan, Flower Pig, Georgia, and Zachary. Thank you for your support. We love you, and we'd literally be dead somewhere without you.
You're the only consistent thing in our lives.
And we really love you. If you want to be just like our birthday pigs or just like our patrons, I don't know, you can follow us on patreon.com. Yeah, it's patreon.com/late night drive pod.
You can't forget the pod, you guys, because there's another patreon.com/late night drive, and that's not us. It's patreon.com/late night drive pod. And on Instagram, we are Late Night Drive Pod, and we're happy to collect questions from you. Our voicemail number is in the bio. We love to interact with you there. If you have anything you want us to talk about, that's the best way to get it on our little weekly podcast.
And yes, my sweet friends, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you have a lot to be thankful for this year because we're very thankful for you. And I love you guys so much. As always, have a good day, have a good night, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope it's a great one. And we will catch you on the very next drive.
Thank you for coming to Late Night Drive. We hope you enjoy the drive.
Ooh, your voice is back.
It's back, baby.
Late Night Drive with Ellie and Michaela is brought to you by BetterHelp. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/LND today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/LND.